Turn down the web. Do you remember that music video?
No. Hello.
Shalom.
How? Welcome back to Devil Indemnity, the podcast where we talk about recent movies and movie releases. It sounds like I just said the same thing twice.
We're
doing a couple things different today. First off, if you're watching the podcast, you might see that our dog is wandering a boot.
Have a creature.
She is wreaking havoc on the world. Hopefully she stays calm and she can stay out, because it'd be nice if we don't have to put her in her crate right now. But let's just do some introductions. I'm Emily Klaser.
I'm Jonathan Pyle.
And Jonathan considers himself a cinephile. I consider myself just a general movie lover, enjoyer. I like popcorn. This is what I literally wrote for myself. I said, Jonathan considers himself a cinephile, and I consider myself a movie enjoyer, popcorn lover, which I think is pretty accurate for myself. So
that's very accurate.
First off, spoiler alert, I want everybody to be aware of the fact that we are going to talk about all of the things that happen in this movie that we're about to discuss, that Jonathan will disclose shortly. But if you want to not be spoiled, probably you should go watch the movie and then listen to the podcast. But if you don't mind the spoilage, please stay.
Yes.
And if you leave, come back later. So, yes. And also, just a shameless self-plug, we do have a Letterboxd, DI_podcast, that we post the movie we're going to talk about next, in case people want to go leave comments and questions or concerns about things we could talk about on the podcast, which would be kind of cool if someone does that one day.
Questions.
We check it every time and nobody ever does. Let's see.
Questions, concerns, compliments.
Questions, concerns, comments, compliments.
Comments, compliments, yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember, but yes. Okay, Jonathan, do you want to introduce what movie we're watching today?
Yes, once Beans gets settled in my lap here.
Beans is our dog's name.
Yep, yeah, that's a sitting. Good that's a good disclaimer.
Just so you know. Just to settle the beans in your lap.
We are talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once, directed by Daniels. It's like a director group.
The Daniel brothers or something? The Daniels?
They're just both named Daniel. Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert.
Cool. Interesting. The Daniels.
They also directed Swiss Army Man, which I've seen like the first like 30 minutes of. It's a very weird movie. Even weirder than this movie, actually.
Really?
Yes.
This movie was crazy.
It was crazy.
It was really crazy.
And they also did music videos before that. You know the music video?
They did music videos?
For Turn Down for What?
Turn Down for What? Boop, boop.
Do you remember that music video?
Boop, boop, boop. No.
It was pretty cool. But they did that one.
That's cool. Well, now I want to go watch that music video. I don't feel like you hear of a lot of directors who start out doing music videos.
It's David Fincher did.
David Fincher? I don't know.
He's done Gone Girl, Zodiac, Seven.
Oh. So he started out with Murder Mystery music videos too.
I didn't know there were many of those. Are there?
I don't know.
I gotta check that out now.
I'm not super in tune with the music video biz.
I know. And I'm
MTV
not either.
MTV was not of our generation.
It's not.
That was our parents' generation, so they probably know more about music videos than we do.
Probably.
Okay, carry on with your
Beans. What do you know about music videos?
Also, for anybody who's watching the podcast, you might have noticed this is in between us. This is an almighty bag of bagels.
Everything bagels.
Just to be specific, just because I felt like it was very relevant and pertinent to what we were talking about to have this here.
Yep.
For this.
Agreed.
Podcast.
The stars of the movie.
The stars. Who is in this movie, Jonathan? Let me know.
Michelle Yeoh, who played. I think this is actually.
Who did she play?
She plays the main actress, Evelyn.
Evelyn.
Kei Hu Kwan, who plays Waymond.
Evelyn's husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jamie Lee Curtis, who plays Deirdre. Is that how you say her name?
I actually didn't even pick up on her name when we were watching it.
It's like Deirdre. She's the tax auditor.
The tax auditor, yeah.
Stephanie Hsu, who plays Evelyn's daughter. And then James Hong, who has been in so many movies, who plays her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually the first Michelle Yeoh movie I've ever seen.
She's a pretty big actress, isn't
which is
she?
Crazy.
What else has she been in?
So she came out on the screen, well, on the screen.
Her debut or whatever, is that what it's called?
Like her big thing was
her big break.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
I've heard of that, but I don't know what it is.
It's a very famous movie directed by Ang Lee. But Michelle Yeoh was in Crazy Rich Asians, so I have seen a movie.
Yes, everybody's seen Crazy Rich Asians. It's a good movie.
Oh, and she was in Shang-Chi too. Never mind. What am I talking about?
Those are
about?
Huge movies. She's been huge for a while.
No, she has been big for a while.
Cool.
But yeah, she's great. The budget for this movie.
Well, did you talk about who's Joy?
What's that? Oh yeah, Stephanie Hsu, who plays her daughter Joy / Jobu Tupaki. And yeah, that was it.
Mm. What else has she been in?
She has been in a couple TV shows. She was in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Really? Wait, who was she in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel? I love that show. That's a great show. Who was she? I don't know.
This is her breakout performance, I think. Her main movie role.
She was really good in this.
Really good.
All the shots she had to do, just like with the camera directly in the middle of her face, were amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. So the budget was $25 million reported, but a fun fact that is commonly estimated to be $25 million, which is a shockingly low amount. However, this estimate is still too high. During an interview at SBIF Cinema Society, producer Jonathan Wang revealed that the entire movie was shot with a budget of only $14.3 million.
There's no way, with all the editing and the CGI. It's only $14 million.
Which is crazy.
Why did they say $25 million? Is that what they gave them and they just didn't use it all? Who doesn't use all of their movie budget? Whoa, that's crazy. Okay.
For comparison's sake, that's right around 1/14 the estimated budget of Multiverse of Madness, the new Doctor Strange movie that came out in the same month that this movie came out.
What?
Yes.
This movie was way more intense than the Doctor Strange movie, though.
Did you see that one?
Actually, no.
I was like, what? Did you see that?
LOL. I was thinking of the movie, I saw the Spider-Man movie. No Way Home or something?
Oh, that, yeah.
That's the one with all the Spider-Mans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that one and Doctor Strange was in it. So for some reason in my mind, I was like, oh yeah, I saw the Doctor Strange movie.
But yeah, the directors like to joke that they made the movie for the cost of Marvel's catering budget.
Oh my gosh, that's literally so true. That probably was their catering budget. I wonder what they feed them on set of the Marvel movies.
Probably pretty good.
Our dog's getting a little restless if you're watching.
Review for this movie?
Oh, stars? Okay, let's do our ratings. I would give it 4 out of 5 stars just because it was really well made. The acting was really good and the story was definitely unique. But I do think that it dragged. And I think because of that, I thought it was a little boring. I think that kind of knocked it down to a 4 for me. Like there could have been emotional attachment, and I had some emotional attachment to the characters, but I don't think it was enough that, like, oh, I would have cried or been really upset if the ending went either which way, you know?
That's true. I agree with that. Beans is being problematic.
I don't think we're going to get it. Keep our dog out because she's getting a little excited.
I give it 4 out of 5, too.
Why?
I really enjoyed this movie. I think it's the most original movie I have seen in a long time. I do agree with you that it did drag at times, especially a little bit in the beginning and then at the end too.
Yes, the ending definitely dragged. That's when I was getting bored, was at the ending, honestly.
Yeah, it's like the movie almost had like...
It was too much.
It could have ended a couple different times.
Yes, they could have ended it many times. And I think it got a little too montage-y at the end, in my opinion. But I don't know. Let's get into talking through the movie play-by-play from the start, and we can talk about our feelings about the ending when we get to the ending.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Jonathan and I wanted to try a new format of talking about the podcast today and kind of go through the plot a little bit more and give our opinions on the plot that way. But then we realized we probably made a huge mistake trying to do that for the first time on a episode where we talk about Everything Everywhere All at Once, because this movie's plot makes absolutely no sense if you're not watching the movie in order. So we're going to do our best to plug through it. But yeah. Also, wait, talk about what? Who all is nominated for Oscars for this too before we get into it.
Oh, yes.
Right now we're doing an Oscars series, and so we wanted to touch on all of the movies that are nominated for Best Picture, and this is one of them. That's why we're doing it. And so I think there's like 1 million nominations for this movie. I think it got the most nominations Oscars of all the movies.
11 nominations.
So, tell us what all it's nominated for before we get into all that jazz.
Best Picture. Like jazz? Best Picture, Director, Original Screenplay, editing, costume, score, song, supporting actor.
I didn't think this, what song was in it?
I don't remember.
Mustn't have been that memorable.
I know.
Okay, carry on.
Was it at the end?
I don't remember.
We didn't even watch the credits.
I was really facing out at the end. Yeah, maybe it was in the credits. Okay, carry on.
Supporting actor for Ke Huy Quan. I can't really pronounce
it. That was...
Waymond. Supporting actress for both Jamie Lee Curtis and Stephanie Hsu, and lead actress for Michelle Yeoh. So they got in almost every acting category.
That's crazy. If every single main
three
actor,
out of four acting categories.
They were all really good, though. That's just blizzard.
They all deserved
them. They all got nominated, yeah.
Honestly.
Okay. Yeah, that means it was a well-stacked cast. And I also love that it wasn't a very well-recognizable cast, because sometimes that really annoys me. It takes away the, like... It's hard to associate them with their characters if they're so well-stacked, you know?
Yeah, like Amsterdam.
Amsterdam was too stacked. Yeah, that's a great example, where it didn't work because they were too well-known.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact, the lead role was first considered for Jackie Chan, and it would center on his relationship with...
His wife.
Michelle Yeoh.
Oh.
So he would have been the main character.
I think Michelle Yeoh is a better main character.
Yeah, the director's...
Jackie Chan, does he do anything anymore?
I feel like last movie he did was one called The Foreigner with Pierce Brosnan, but that was like 2016. I don't know if
he's
still
doing
movies.
That's a long time ago. Well, I'm glad they went with Ke Huy Quan. Is that his name?
First movie role in 25 years.
For him?
Yeah, his last movie
role. Where has he been? What has he been doing?
You know Indiana Jones, the second one? Temple of Doom.
I couldn't.
He played Short Round. He was a child actor. He was in that movie, The Goonies.
Oh, he was a child actor. And then he took a break for 20 years.
He decided to quit acting because there weren't enough roles for Asian people.
Oh, okay.
And that he wanted to do. And so
he quit. Now he's back.
And then
he came back for a showstopper too.
Yeah, the Daniels like thought of him when they were trying to... cast this movie.
Wow. So did they rewrite the script to not have Jackie Chan? Like, did Jackie Chan say no, or was he just like a concept?
I think it was just a concept, and they thought like having the female as the main character would have more an impact and be more convincing.
I agree, especially since because it puts so much weight in that relationship between her and her daughter. And I mean, I guess you could have that with a man too, but I feel like it's more maybe stereotypically considered that like women have a harder time connecting to their daughters than men do.
Yes,
and,
yeah.
Because usually it's like daddy's little princess, and then it's a mama's boy, you know? So I feel like it's a little more, I guess, relatable or stereotypical that like she would have more of a strained relationship with her daughter than the dad would.
Yeah, I agree.
And I also like that she was kind of like the leading person in the relationship, because that doesn't normally happen either. Usually it's like considered, you know, stereotypically that the man is the leading figure in the relationship, and she was kind of the matriarchy, you know?
Yeah.
Which was also kind of cool. So I liked that. Yeah, I think they did a good job choosing her to be the main rather than Ke Huy Quan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Me too. Mm-hmm. So the beginning of the movie...
Well, let's intro. Yeah. Go ahead. You go ahead. The characters.
The first shot is, it's of like a mirror, and it's like the three are like Evelyn, Waymond, and Joy, and then...
So Evelyn, Waymond, and Joy are
Asian American family living in San Francisco.
Immigrants. Are they immigrants? They didn't really mention if they were immigrants.
Maybe. Probably because when they were going through like kind of like the multiverse scenes, you saw Waymond like take Evelyn away.
Yeah, but he could have been taking her away just from her parents' house.
I guess that's true.
They never really mentioned if they were immigrants or not, but they were an Asian American family that had moved away from their parents because they didn't approve of their relationship, and they had a child, and they bought a laundromat that they were trying to make successful, and they were really just struggling to, and they ended up getting audited by the IRS. So that's kind of who the family is, general understanding of setting up the film.
So like the first scene is so overwhelming, you just like the shot just centers on Evelyn, and it's just her like with like hundreds of like tax receipts or just receipts, and they're just trying to organize them.
No, that's not the first scene.
Yeah,
the
it is.
The first scene is a shot of the family in the mirror.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying.
Singing
yeah.
karaoke. Did and you then say it, that? And yeah. I just totally missed it.
Well, that yeah, that, I said that like 5 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And like everything is going on.
Is everywhere. All at once. All at once.
Also, I love that they named her Evelyn, too. That was very... I like that.
Why? Oh, because everything. Evelyn. Yeah, Evelyn. Oh, my everything. Gosh. I'm so stupid. I did not think of that.
And there are so many things going on in Evelyn's world right now. And it seems like her and she just like can't catch a break. Because yeah. it shows them her like at the laundromat. And there are so many like differing voices of dialogue coming into play. And Waymond is just trying to get her attention for once just to like speak to her.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that was like I totally related to her. Like not in the sense of like, you know, she had a lot going on in her life more than that, but I just personally am very bad at multitasking and handling multiple things happening at once in life, period. She was way better at it than I was. She was handling it like a boss. But I could really relate to like the idea of like there's so much happening that you cannot even wrap your head around it to function like as a person. And I thought it was really, really well done how they introduced her relationships with her family, because it was basically just, I don't have time for my husband. I don't have time for my daughter. Like, I'm just trying to stay afloat and like...
And then please my father.
Yeah, and she's trying so hard to please her father, who was very disapproving of their lifestyle and how she had chosen to run away with Wayland. Is it Wayland?
Waymond.
I keep trying to say Wayland.
Raymond, just with a W.
Oh, okay. Why did that make me more confused? Waymond. Well, now it just says I'm saying, it sounds like I'm saying it with like a slur, or like I'm not.
Well, it's just how it sounds.
Like I'm a kid who can't pronounce my R's.
Waymond.
I guess that's how you would have pronounced it as a kid.
That's just how it's said.
Jonathan had not really a speech impediment. You just had struggles with saying your R's.
Struggles.
As a kid. You just struggled with saying R's, right?
I would just ask, like, can I have a bugger, please?
Very British, kind of, you know? You sound a little international.
International. International man of mystery.
But it sounds like Waymond is how you would say his name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that's going to make it easy. I'm just going to say it like I'm like an 8-year-old Jonathan.
Yeah, that's how they said in the movie.
Waymond.
Yeah.
Why does it sound so different when you say it like... It's Raymond, but if you say with a W.
And
I don't know why
like
that
way.
Fully changed it for me. But I thought that was a great way to set up their characters and their relationships. It's like, she loves her family, but she can't help but somehow neglect them.
Push them away.
Them away because she's so overwhelmed. They did a really good job because it's like, you know, she loves them and she cares for them. And that's why she's working so hard, but she's forgetting to keep those individual relationships going, and she's just trying to stay afloat. It was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you get the tension with her and her daughter and her disapproving of her relationship with another girl. And
yes, yeah, because her daughter brings home her girlfriend.
I think, was that like for the first time maybe?
Yeah, because they were like setting up that day to have a New Year's party, a Chinese New Year party.
Right, that all happens in one day.
Yeah,
right.
And so her daughter is bringing over her girlfriend and also her grandfather, or Evelyn's father is also coming to the party. So there's this huge tension of like, there's going to be a situation where the granddaughter is going to have to introduce her girlfriend to a very traditional grandfather. And Evelyn, you know, being more nervous about what her father is going to say about her daughter being in a same-sex relationship, that she, instead of considering how it's going to impact her daughter or how she even feels about it, she just tries to hide it almost.
It's like, oh, it's just her friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just her friend. Yeah.
And then you...
But it wasn't because she was embarrassed of it. It was because she was scared of what her father would say.
Yeah.
About it, which is...
Exactly.
Also very good setting up the film, too. But I do want to go back to just that first scene where there is the mirror and they're singing as a family, the karaoke scene, because I thought it was genius. Like, it was almost like they were this happy family, and then that switch to her rummaging through the receipts. Like, this is the first scene of the movie. I thought it was so well done, because a main theme in this movie is like jumping between the multiverse and jumping between time, even, you know, like the space-time continuum. And it's almost like at the beginning of the movie, every time those jumps happen, it's looking into a mirror, like a circular mirror. Did you notice that?
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So like Evelyn, eventually when you get into the movie, it's so hard to talk about this
it
in
is
a linear
really
way
because
it's not a linear
movie.
But there's this circular mirror, and every time she starts jumping at the beginning of the film, she looks and she sees herself in the mirror, and then it jumps. And I thought that was honestly the way that they set up the movie was really smart, because it was almost like a jump between two universes. There's the universe where she's singing with her family karaoke and having a good time, and then jumps to the universe where she's rummaging through tax receipts. So I almost think it wasn't a memory flashback. I think it was a jump between two universes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Because the whole, all this jumping is happening between like the multiverse. So it's like the concept of like, there's multiple yous all over these overlapping universes, all doing the same thing, but then one decision splits you off on a like completely different path throughout life. And fun fact, actually, when I was in high school, I had to do an impossible project where you try to present and prove something impossible.
Right,
so like people would do things like Bigfoot is real, or like airplane trails are actually government mind control chemicals. Like it was things like that. And so I did the multiverse is real, and like I talked through theories and proof that like there
is
multiple universes and multiple people in it. So I actually believe in like multiple
that
universes,
works out so
like
well.
In a sense, just because it was really cool. But when I was watching this movie, I was like, it's kind of cool because I did a project on this.
Yeah,
like,
I forgot
trying to prove.
You did that.
But I wasn't really talking about multi-universe traveling.
Oh, that's different. That's
that would be a whole
nother
problem.
Game.
Yeah, a whole nother ball game. I mean, what is it? The metaverse? Full circle, we talked about the metaverse in one of our podcasts, and we
there were a couple of shots with that mirror, like one in the same beginning scene before things started to get crazy,
where
you see Waymond in the mirror, and it's like after everything's kind of like calmed down a little bit, and they're just trying to like, I think Evelyn was like cooking noodles or going through the receipts again.
Oh, I don't remember that.
And then you see Waymond's face, the framing was like perfect for that scene, and it's just kind of like this face of like disappointment because he just wants to like talk to his wife.
Yeah, so plot twist, in this big beginning scene of her fumaging around with her family and going down to the laundromat and meeting her daughter's girlfriend, Waymond is actually walking around with some papers that he's trying to show his wife, and he's trying so hard to even get into the conversation that he's holding divorce papers and he's trying to end their marriage, basically. And they get into it later, but it's almost like the divorce was more of a cry for help than an actual want for a divorce. Like it was more of a like an actionable, like this is gonna happen if we don't figure our crap out, you know?
Yes.
But it's like he can't even get a word in to tell her that, you know?
I know.
Like, because she's just so busy, and it's like that's a big deal to try to serve somebody divorce papers and you can't even get a word in.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was very well set up, the divorce papers part. So yeah,
I thought usually divorce papers are served by somebody else, or is that if you have a lawyer already?
I think when you get served, I don't know exactly what it means, but I think it's just like because you know, isn't it like a joke, like you just got served, you know? Isn't that a thing?
Yeah, but
I don't know what it means. I don't know anything about law and lawyers and fancy things like that.
Fancy things like that. And then the first part, yeah, this film is split up into three different parts that are not of equilateral length in the least. But the first one is called Everything. It's like part one.
So that's what this whole chunk we're talking about. Things are going crazy.
I'm not sure if I liked the different parts. The decision to put them in there. I don't know.
I don't think the chapters really did anything for me. Like, I guess the way that the movie was broken up, there were three chapters. There was the Everything chapter, and then there was Everywhere chapter, and then at the end it was All at Once. And the All at Once chapter was like just the very end.
It's like 15 minutes.
Like 15, 20 minutes. And I don't think it was needed. I understood everything, like, oh my gosh, everything's compounding on top of you. And then the Everywhere was like her finally breaking through and like traveling. But here, let's talk through the Everything part a little bit more, and where she like tells her daughter she's fat.
Oh, right. Because she was like, yeah, that's something I want to tell you, Joy. And
I know, like she stopped, her daughter's like storming out from the laundromat, right?
Yeah, to like drive Becky somewhere else because she's just kind of done with her family.
Mm-hmm. And they were supposed to go to the IRS audit together. so that her daughter could translate. Right. Question I had is, she was yelling and she kept getting upset because he was putting googly eyes on everything. Mm-hmm. Why did he put googly eyes on everything? Like, did he just think it was cute?
Wayman just thought it was cute.
That's so sweet. Like, it's so adorable. And it was like making her so upset.
I know.
Put googly eyes on everything. And also in this scene, there was some foreshadowing. There was a girl who came into the laundromat and she had like an earpiece on, like one of those old, like, I don't know what you call it. Like,
you're right.
You know how you like the businessmen, like early 2000s movies. I don't know if that's the right time. Maybe late 2000s, that had like a Bluetooth little earpiece that just like had a little mic on it. And it's just like, that's what you imagine like businessmen with Blackberries would wear. And I remember thinking, that's so weird. Like, why is she wearing that? I didn't realize the significance that later all the people who jump between the universes have those earpieces on.
Mm, that's good. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, because she was the one with like the dog and she's all sassy. And then the girl, Evelyn called her Big Nose in Chinese.
Which is something like Asian term for like white people is actually like, it's like a saying, like for Asian to call, Asians to call Americans. But that's also something to like a derogatory term for Jewish people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. I did not know that. So she was kind of calling her like a derogatory term.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. She said that to her in Chinese. And I know everybody's always paranoid when you're around people who speak a different language than you and they're speaking a different language in front of you. You're always scared that they're trash talking you.
Yes.
And
yes.
She was. She like just she just affirmed everybody's biggest fear about being around people who speak a different language than you.
But,
and also in this, wait, what were you
saying? Sorry. That's Jenny Slate, and she was in Parks and Rec. Do you remember her character?
Oh, I've seen her in other stuff before.
She was like, she always went like, money, please.
Oh, held out her hand. I forgot about that.
And then she voiced a character in Big Mouth, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. I never recognized people in cartoons. Like, I had no idea that Elsa and Anna, like, Anna was Kristen Bell.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. That's crazy. Now you can't unhear it. Like, now in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, it's Kristen Bell.
Of course.
I had literally no calls.
The bells have rung.
Okay, moving on. So that all happens. And then I had a question. They were like, when they were in the laundromat, there was like a play on the TV of like a prince dancing with like a woman.
Yeah, like an Indian
woman. What does that play
mean?
Like, I feel like there was some significance to
the play.
There's got
to be significance.
But I was curious. I was like, why are they, because they just had a big TV in the laundromat and it was playing this play, and I was like, what is the significance of this
play? Know what, I bet that's a fun fact I can find.
And I know that right now we sound like we're just spewing random things, but this is literally how the scenes in the movie were going. Like, they were all over the place. They were everything everywhere all at once.
Wow. Mm-hmm. How did you think of that?
Exactamente.
Continue. I will try to
find. Why don't
you
just Google it? Jonathan is literally scrolling through random trivia facts. Why don't you just Google the significance of that play? Okay, we have absolutely no idea what it meant, but if anybody else does, let us know, because I actually want to know if there's like a significance to it. Then after all of that stuff goes down, you have the cameo of the girl with the earpiece and you have the play on the TV. The woman then has that confrontation where she calls her daughter fat outside the laundromat.
Yes.
When her and her girlfriend are escaping the family.
But she wanted to, like, that's not what she wanted to say, but she just like,
it just came out because she didn't know how else to act. Like, that was her instinct, was to insult her, which was so sad. Like, you knew that's not what she meant. You could see it in her eyes. Like, that was her good acting. You could see in her eyes that she was really wanting to say. And then what she said was like, you're getting fat. You need to eat healthier or something.
Yeah.
Which also, she wasn't like fat at all. She wasn't. I don't know why she would say that.
Yeah. When you can act with your eyes, I think that's insanely impressive.
Yes, I agree. It's very impressive. So after that scene, they go to the IRS.
They get in their little camper.
Yes, because they're being audited because I guess the receipts didn't add up. You know what I mean?
Well, because Evelyn had so many hobbies that she thought were businesses, which like kind of represent,
but I don't understand how buying a karaoke machine is a business expense, because one of the receipts that the auditor, Jamie Lee Curtis, like slapped on the table was like a karaoke receipt, and I was like, excuse me.
Well, they were labeling it as a business expense when it shouldn't have been.
Yes, but why would that be a business expense?
Because they couldn't have afforded it if it wasn't a business expense.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't have been approved or...
Yeah. So it was really interesting when they go into the audit building. They walk past this old couple. And you know at this point that Waymond wants a divorce. But Evelyn doesn't know. And you see as they're walking into this audit building, Waymond looks over and he sees this old couple, mm-hmm. like in love and kiss as one goes to the bathroom. Which is foreshadowing, actually, for the end of the movie.
Yes.
Because at the end of the movie, don't want to get any spoilers, but they do the same thing because they're in love again. But he watches that old couple kiss, and then one goes to the bathroom, and you can see in his face, like, he's just, that's all he really wants, you know? Like, and that's when you were like, oh, he doesn't want a divorce. He just wants change.
He wants
to be back in, like, madly in love with his wife, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was really cute.
I thought so too.
And then, okay, so at this point, they get in the elevator. And this is when shit gets crazy. You know what I'm saying? It gets real.
Wait, so no, sorry.
So they're going at the elevator.
Before that, back in the original scene, there are so many things about this movie.
Yeah, there's so many things to say, and it's so frazzled. You know what? Us being all over the place is about on point with what this movie
yeah. was. Yeah. You see, as Evelyn and... her father are talking, you zoom in between them on the TV screen in their laundromat on the security cameras, and you see like the screens flickering and it says like processing, like a loading screen, and then you see Waymond like go back into
yes.
Alpha Waymond.
They did do that
for the
I
first
totally
time.
Forgot about it. Okay, so and Alpha Waymond, do you want to say who that is right now?
Yeah, so
okay, so going back to the multiverse topic, right?
Yes. Alpha Waymond is one of the people from Wayman's infinite multiverses, and his universe is one where there is no dairy, and that is being plagued by a leader named Jobu Tupaki.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know that yet. But
yes, and he jumps into Earth Wayman's. I mean, I guess they're all Earth Wayman's, but he jumps
Earth
into Wayman's. He jumps into like the main Wayman's body and starts doing ninja moves
yeah.
all over the laundromat, and you're like, there's something off right now.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, like, and, like, the family, the girls, the Evelyn and Joy are just watching it, like, on the TV.
Well, they don't even see what's on
yeah,
the TV.
Yeah, the TV's behind them, right? It's the CCTV footage that's, like, in the laundromat.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking to Joy all about, like, oh, your father's just, like, so lame. Like, we just don't, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, I don't know how he survives without me.
Right,
as she's
right.
saying this, he's doing these ninja moves. And at this point, you don't know that it's an alternate universe, Waymond. You think that it's, like, him, you know?
And yeah, it's but like, it's what, like, what is
moves?
He doing?
Like, Jackie Chan, who? If, I mean, could have been Jackie
could
Chan.
Could have been Jackie Chan.
But I thought that was super... You're right. I totally forgot about that. So
I know,
that was
sorry.
Foreshadowing yeah. into him being able to switch into ninja mode. But... back into the elevator situation, he switches into ninja mode and all of a sudden
umbrella.
Grabs an umbrella with donuts on it, which is foreshadowing.
Oh, I didn't even notice
bagels,
that.
That's
I feel
good. Like. And they put it over the security camera so that the security cameras can't see what's going on in the elevator. And all this crazy crap starts happening. And he puts those little like earpiece Bluetooth things on her face, her ears. And he's like, you're in danger. And she's like, what the heck is going on?
Yeah.
And the lights are flashing. And he writes something down on the back of the divorce papers. And he's like, once you get to the auditor. Sorry, I had to burp. Once you get to the auditor. Do these instructions because you're in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I was like, why is she in danger? Like, what's going on? You know, like
yeah.
everybody is so confused at the same time. And she's like, still
she's
thinks
right
that
there.
It's her husband acting like that. She doesn't
yeah.
realize it's Alpha Waymond.
He shows her like
yeah.
his phone.
And Alpha means he's from the Alpha universe because there's a universe, the Alpha universe.
Right.
And
there
then
weren't...
the universe that they were in presently, like the present whatever universe that started out with, is called Evelyn's universe.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I think it was called Evelyn's universe.
Yeah, he pulls up like the phone with like his computer map of like all the universes, and she's like, oh, all your little apps on your phone.
Oh my god, I didn't even realize that. I
yeah.
missed that part. But when he like put all that stuff on her, the earpieces, and she all of a sudden starts to kind of jump through the metaverse universe space,
starts cracking.
She what cracks?
Or just like her reality starts like
oh,
cracking.
Yes. Her
sorry.
Reality starts to crack, yeah. And the elevator doors open and she sees her entire life flash by in front
mm-hmm.
of her. Her like that universe life. Carly's calling me. I don't want to talk to her right now. Okay. Yeah, so I was, and then like he said, make sure that you keep these instructions that I've just given you to do when you get to the auditor's desk, because I'm not going to remember what I just told you. And I was like,
yes.
He was like, what the heck? I was so confused. And I guess you're supposed to be confused because later you find out it's because he was filled in his body with alpha women and he wasn't.
Yeah, his mind.
And I guess the way that it works is you can't physically like bring your separate being to the next universe with you. You can only send your consciousness and fill the body that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So like if Evelyn died on like a certain universe, she wouldn't be able to jump and beam into that universe anymore because she wouldn't have a body to host and to be in. So that was kind of interesting, I think. But yeah, I remember just being so shocked that all the stuff that was happening, and you felt just as shocked as she was.
That's true. I guess this is my like third time watching the first half of this movie. This was your first time, so
yeah. So you've noticed all the little things because you've seen it so many times. Jonathan's watched this halfway through twice, and this was the first time we
haven't gotten to finish it.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten to finish it yet. But I do want to say, so the next scene has Jamie Lee Curtis in it, and she is phenomenal. Didn't you say she got a nomination for it?
Yes.
Like her, like the two main supporting actresses in this movie got nominations. It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's literally awesome. Fantastic. She was good, but I don't know if she was like supporting actress Oscar nomination good. But I love her as an actress, so she deserves everything.
That's true. She deserves one. Just anyways.
Yeah, she does. But her character was, I mean, it was really
amazing. I know all the
she get to the
makeup
desk and she's
and...
just like she's acting like she's the president of the United States, like she's the head of the FBI, throwing things on the table, like trying to bring down this family, and it's like. It's like she has no mercy. It's like they're sitting there and she's just slaughtering them, ripping them apart for every single receipt. And they're just like, she doesn't
They can't even
care.
Understand like, what she's saying.
Yeah, they can't understand her because she's speaking so fast and they can't translate that fast. And she's like, she was just like not at all giving any mind to like their current circumstances or situation or like what their family was going through. She was just like her only goal was to destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
And she, I guess, sorry. And so, at this point, Wayman had given her those instructions, right?
Yes, paper. On the back of the divorce paper.
And she's got the two earpieces in, and I don't know why she decided to try to jump, because she was just overwhelmed.
She just wanted
to try to escape the situation, but she didn't even know what those instructions were going to do.
No.
Yeah, and it was so weird. It's like, you have to just, in order to initiate, like, a jump between the universes, you have to do, like, a weird thing.
Something very, weird.
Yeah, you have to do something wonky.
Which, all the
and
things
so
that they did
it was, like,
weird.
Switch your shoes on your feet. I think I tried to write them down. Imagine you're in the janitor's closet, and then hold the thought and press the green button mm-hmm. on your whatever, and don't forget to breathe, is what he said on the list. And she's sitting here holding the divorce papers, having no idea that they're divorce papers.
Yeah.
She's just using them as instructions. And so...
You go through these yawning phases.
I think it's because I'm talking so much, I'm not getting enough oxygen to my brain.
That happens to me too.
It's funny, we're barely into talking about this movie and we've been recording for like 40 minutes.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's crazy. But so she jumps into the janitor's closet. And here again, there was another theme of like that round mirror part where she looks into the mirror and she jumps. And she ends up in the janitor's closet, and Waymond is there, but it is not Waymond. It is Alpha Waymond. And he has jumped there to tell her that she's in grave danger, and she's the only person who can save the universe. So. Mm-hmm.
And you're like,
that's when shit hits the fan.
This is some pretty big shit.
That's when it gets real. You know what I'm saying?
And then, I can't remember if after that, they go back to the auditor? Yeah.
Yeah, so after that, she kind of like goes back to the auditor, and she's like jumping between consciousnesses in the two universes, and the auditor is getting mad at her because she's not paying good attention, and then she jumps back into the janitor closet, and he's getting mad at her because she doesn't understand that the universe is ending, which who would?
Who would at that point?
She was mostly just caring about how their taxes were all messed up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then so she like ends up jumping back to the auditor, and then she jumps back into the janitor closet, and like a bunch of different things happen in a bunch of different sequences, but basically what happens is the janitor closet universe is a universe where everybody's trying to kill her.
Yes.
So they're trying to kill her, and then in the normal universe she hasn't quite figured out that they're separate, and that what that people are doing in the normal Evelyn universe and what they're doing in the janitor closet universe are not the same. So she attacks the auditor because she thinks that the auditor is coming to kill her.
But she's just literally handing her their like little cart.
Yeah, she was just bringing the car to them. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it was pretty funny. And then all of a sudden, all the security guards are trying to kill them. And that's a scene for a very long time. Like, that happens for a long time. The janitor tried to kill them. And
even before that, she's like, Evelyn's like, why do we have, like, or like, why do I have to fight now? And she doesn't even realize that Wayman's talking about the divorce, and she's talking about actually fighting the people.
So there's a little scene before she attacks the auditor where he's holding up the paper, and he's like thinking that is the reason she's upset, because it's divorce papers. But when he's holding it up, he's holding up the side where Alpha Wayman had written like all the instructions to jump. Yeah. And so they're like having this little bicker about why she's upset, not even realizing that it was for divorce papers. And that's how she found out.
Genius.
Yeah.
That was really... Really
it was
smart.
Really smart. I was thinking the same thing. I actually wrote that down. I just forgot to talk about
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. But, then he enters, like, Alpha Wayman shows up
with
to try to save her from all of the security guards. And so he's just basically beats them up with a fanny pack. That's about all that happens.
He did most of his stunt work, Kei Hu Kwan.
Really?
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
He did most of that fanny pack stuff.
During all of the chaos that this was, I mean, it was a lot, and I don't even know how to explain it all because it was so much. But let's just say the main things that happened. So at one point, they explain how she actually is the person who invented jumping between universes,
mm-hmm.
In the Alpha universe, and she was jumping between universes, and so she was training her daughter how to do it, but she overtrained her and was pushing her beyond her limits, and her daughter ended up breaking, and I guess her mind exploded,
and
fractured, so her mind fractured to where she can't just travel between every universe. She has to be in every universe at the same time, so she always knows what's going on in every single universe. She's not really an existing being. She's not an existing version of Joy. She's not an existing version of Joy. She's just like she's just all of them. And all
Jobu
of the
Dabaki.
Yeah, Jobu Dabaki. I don't know who came up with that name. I don't know what it means.
It's a name.
Yeah.
It is a name.
And then there's a scene where he's trying to jump somewhere, and the weird thing he has to do is give himself paper cuts between his fingers.
Yes, something weird.
It was so hard to watch. He was like sitting there doing it over and over and over again, and then finally he had to do a paper cut between every finger, so it was four paper cuts. And finally he gets the last paper cut and he flings it back, and then there's little blood
on the camera.
Oh my gosh, I was sitting there cringing. Like, one of my biggest fears in life is getting a paper cut from a printer. Like, I'm so paranoid. I feel like I need safety glasses to operate a printer, because I'm so scared that when you operate a printer, that the printer's going to malfunction and it's going to shoot the paper out at high speed, and it's going to give you a paper cut on your eyeball.
Ugh.
Like, specifically on my eyeball is a
horrible.
Big fear of mine.
That is a big fear of yours.
And also, just printers make me nervous. Because I don't know how to use them, and I feel like I look like an idiot sitting there pushing all the buttons, like,
that's
not knowing what
fair.
I'm doing. So
we've all experienced that.
I'm not kidding. I didn't print one thing at a public printer in college. Not one. And also, really? We were COVID college students, so like our second semester of sophomore year to the end of college was coronavirus and post-coronavirus. So to us, college became very computerized, even more than it already was. But those first few semesters of college, when I had actual like paper homework and paper tests and everything, I would not print anything out if I didn't have to.
Wow. I printed a lot of stuff
out. I had a personal printer that I used a little bit, but I didn't even use it
that
much.
That's true.
Yeah.
You did.
But no to public printers.
I printed a good amount of stuff out. It was like 25 cents a page or something like that. 5 cents a page.
Oh, and there was a really good scene. So after all this, getting back to the plot and what was going on. So after all this craziness, I don't even know if it was after. I don't know what's going on. But while all of this fighting is happening at the audit office, she jumps to a car with Wayman, because in the Evelyn universe, the normal universe, she and him are going back home because the auditor gave her until the end of the day to reorganize their mm-hmm. receipts and what they're requesting for tax, whatever's on. I don't understand taxes at all. And so they're driving home, and they're kind of like in a fight talking about how the divorce and everything. And he says, I just feel like every time I try to talk to you, you get pulled away. And as he says that,
she gets pulled away in the...
Yeah, she gets pulled into the violent universe that she was fighting in.
Deidre, the tax auditor, was going crazy on her.
Yeah, which was interesting. And Whoever wrote this movie was very smart.
They wrote this for a long time. They worked on it for a while. They started on it before Swiss Army Man, and then they made Swiss Army Man so they could, well, finance this movie, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Because this was, well, it was really cheap, supposedly.
Yeah, but the amount of work that went into editing this.
I can't even imagine. The editors did amazing. Did it get nominated for editing?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. It deserves it for editing if it gets the editing win. But I just want to preface that everything else we say for the rest of this is going to be so frazzled because this movie is just, it just gets more and more confusing.
This is difficult.
We're mostly just going to touch on certain scenes and you're just going to have to understand the fact that it's all over the place. But there is a scene where they're fighting still at the audit office and the auditor lady, Jamie Lee Curtis, jumps to attack her and Evelyn has to say, "I love you," like she means it to the auditor to be able to jump. And so one of the different ways of jumping was like, instead of really jumping, you just really gained more skills, which I didn't really understand. Like, she didn't enter into a different universe. She just gained skills of an Evelyn of another universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Stayed in that universe. I don't know.
That's what she was doing most of the, especially near the end
really
of the movie.
It was really confusing. But I liked how when she jumped into the universe that was like her as a kung fu artist. So there was one universe where like if she doesn't go off with Wayman, she actually becomes like a famous kung fu master.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she goes there and I liked how they showed her whole life. Like they did a recap of her life. So you could be like, oh, if she had actually gone down this path of life, this is what her life would have been like. And they did a little Easter egg where they showed a shot from Crazy Rich Asians and she was like on the red carpet. And I was like, oh my God, it's Crazy Rich Asians. And I loved that.
Funny.
It was a great Easter egg because she looked fabulous in it, you know? Mm-hmm. She looked just like she did in the kung fu and all the glamorous.
Yeah.
Clothes and stuff, so I thought it was really
funny.
I really liked that Easter egg. I sat on my chair. I was like, "Look at it, Jonathan!" Yeah.
And then, right after that, they're still in the car on the way home from the tax auditor.
Yeah.
Right. And Evelyn goes like, "My life could have been so amazing, like without you."
Yeah. So she didn't say it in the car. She said it when she was back at the violent auditor. I thought. I don't remember.
Oh, really?
But at some point after going to the Crazy Rich Asians thing, she's like, oh, no, you're right. Maybe she was in the car. I don't remember. But she at one point after she experiences her kung fu life, she goes back to her husband. She's like, my life would have been amazing without you. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, you're really saying that?
I know. That's like,
she was just so frazzled. She's like, I need to go back and tell him how amazing my life would have been without him. And I'm like, you don't know. You don't need to say that.
Yeah.
I thought it's not what you should say to try to alleviate and make the situation better. But it was almost like, it's her husband. She wants to tell him everything and everything that she's feeling. And maybe she didn't realize that that thing she wanted to tell him is probably not something you should say to your partner.
Probably not.
Just imagine, Jonathan, how great my life would have been if I didn't meet you.
Pretty great.
Pretty grand.
Mine would have been great. I know that.
We're literally not even halfway through my notes
right now.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of crazy. But I remember at that scene, that's when I was kind of pissed off at her. Like, she was being so selfish and mean, like only caring about like what her life could have been and how she wanted a better life and how she hated her life,
yeah,
you know, instead of appreciating the things that she did have. And I kind of was mad at her about that. But then Alpha Wayman pulls her out of it and he's like, girl, we don't have time for you to have this conversation with your husband. Here, have a bagel.
Yeah. Some cream cheese.
And I'm actually really hungry, so I know that pretty soon I'm going to go toast up one of these everything bagels and put some cream cheese on it.
Do it.
I'm really excited. But yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. That was the first cameo of an everything bagel.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that. And that's when he tells her that she is the one who broke Joy. So I think you already know that Joy is broken, but this is when her character finds out that she's the one who broke her.
You can kind of assume when Alpha Wayman is talking about the Jobu Tepaki that it's her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least you did.
Yeah. Jobu Tepaki character, I was like, that's totally her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. But she has very iconic lips. So like I saw her lips and I was like, oh yeah, that's that actress.
True.
Yeah. I just recognized her from that. Yeah, but then when she jumped into the Kung Fu universe and she was like existing there for a little bit, she was totally flirting with Wayman.
Wayman
shows up in like this bougie suit.
And you're like, whoa.
And she's like, Wayman. And it's like, you can tell they still have chemistry. Like, you know, like they still, she still loves him and thinks he's attractive and like wants to be with him, and she saw him and he's who grabbed her attention and where she went, you know?
Yes.
But then she's still like, imagine how great my life would have been without you. Like, she just didn't appreciate him. It was just infuriating. I was so annoyed with her. Yeah, and then so she jumps back to the violence universe. I don't know what else to call it, but the violence universe. I didn't have a name for it. So she jumps back to the violence universe, and she all of a sudden Joy shows up as Jobu Takaki. So Jobu Takaki is Joy's name. Jobu Tupac.
Tupac.
Jobu Tupac. She jumps back to the violence era, and Jobu Tupac is actually Joy once her brain is broken. So that's the same person when we're saying that. But Joy shows up and she's wearing all these different outfits. I mean, she is jumping from costume to costume. The costume design was so good. Yes, like, I really liked it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought that, did they get nominated for costume design? Because her costumes were so good. There was one costume where she had like teddy bears as her sleeves, and you don't even realize that they're teddy bears.
I for, didn't
like,
notice the first that
10 minutes of it, because it's so well like morphed into the costume that you don't even realize. Done. Yeah, it was really, really well done. But it literally is such a transition. So the first like 5 seconds, she's dressed like Elvis and she has a pig, and then she morphs into a salsa dancer, and then she morphs into a WWE fighter, and then she fakes getting shot, and then so many outfit changes, y'all, I can't even. And she literally had the best outfits. Like, that's when I was like, yes, I am living for you, Jobu. Like, your outfits are on point. It was amazing.
And then during that whole fight scene, she made a dancer show up in like a yellow suit. Do you remember that?
Yes,
that's one of the directors.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, my God, I wish I'd been watching.
Yes, Daniel,
I
didn't notice. He showed up a couple times.
Yeah, because she was dressed in the man outfit, and he was dressed in the female outfit, and he had like,
Maybe
it wasn't salsa dancing. I don't know what kind of dancing it was, but
something around
there. It was some cool fancy
spicy
kind of dance. Why is spicy?
He was also the guy that was into the BDSM. The guy who was
later on, same guy. Oh yeah, okay, that's interesting.
And then he was at the very end as well.
Yeah, what? I didn't even
recognize.
Three
cameos. Yeah.
Wow, you just already knew what their faces looked like. So when you saw them, you were like, "Oh my gosh!"
Yeah, it's true. And then
that's funny.
Daniel Kwan showed up at the end and in the middle as well.
I didn't even notice them. I love it when directors have cameos in their movies, though. It's fun. I find it weird when directors like are main
except
actors,
Tarantino,
because I can't imagine how you would be a main actor
except Tarantino
and direct at the same time. But I'm also not good at multitasking, so I couldn't do it.
True.
But during this whole scene of all these fantabulous outfit changes, Joy shows her mom her bagel.
It's a euphemism.
And the hot dog fingers stuff happens. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I don't want to talk about it. Basically, they have hot dog. Stop it. They have hot dog fingers, and it's so hard to watch. And in the hot dog finger universe, Evelyn is in love with the auditor.
Yes,
and they have their hot dog fingers. And every time it came on, I just like could not watch it. It was so awful. Like,
it's gross.
So gross. The hot dog fingers.
One comment I want to make right before that. Jobu was talking to the police officer, and he was like, "You can't be here, you can't be here."
Oh,
And then she was like, "I think what you mean to say is that we shouldn't be here." And
I'm
I think that I'm not allowed
something.
To be here. That whole scene was just a little on the nose comment about Asian American like racism and immigration.
Mm-hmm. It was really well done. It was very well executed. Yeah. And she did call him out. I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, sweetie, you're right. Tell him.
Mm-hmm. Tell him, girl.
He died anyway, so.
It's true. He turned into confetti.
She killed them all. But basically, we do get into the bagel talk.
This
and
is our...
Everybody knows this movie is all about bagels. It's really just an homage to bagels.
This is our longest episode yet.
This is going to be the longest episode yet, just because it's so hard to explain it. And also, there was a little bit of a break there. We like put beans away and everything, but... basically, what a bagel means to me and to Joy is that the world means nothing and everything that happens means nothing, which obviously any normal person would come to the same conclusion.
16-year-old teenager. Yeah.
Yes. So in case you're wondering, that's the symbolism of bagels, and that's how I feel about them. So moving on. It was interesting, though, because that whole bagel stuff, like, it was so symbolic But it was also so ridiculous. Like, it was like, oh my God, this is so deep. But like, also, what the heck what are you talking about?
The way they just like...
So like, who comes up with this? Like, the people who wrote this twist are so... They're like, probably like, shout a noun. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what this whole movie was? Everything Everywhere All at Once is literally just a compilation of a book of Mad Libs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they must have filled out a book of Mad Libs with random nouns and random verbs. And they were like, this is our movie script. This is what we're doing.
I like
That's
that.
That's totally what it was, literally. Yeah, and also, so after this, Wayman and Evelyn. So, like, Wayman had told Evelyn, you're not good enough. You are not the Evelyn.
Yes, he lost his faith in her.
He lost his faith in her. He's been searching all the universes for the perfect Evelyn to take down Joy or Jobu Takaki.
Tupaki.
What was I saying? Tupaki?
You were saying Tupac.
I said Tupaki this time. I said it right.
Tupaki. Chewbacca.
Tupaki is just really hard to say. I wonder if it means anything. I have no idea. But basically, he literally tells Joy, the reason that you are the best Joy and you are the best Evelyn and you are going to save the universe and kill Joy is because you are the worst Evelyn in all
everything
of the
else.
Universes. You can't do anything right and you are the hero, which I love that. Just makes me feel a little bit better about myself. Like, maybe there's hope for people like us.
Maybe.
That aren't good at anything.
Press X for doubt.
What does that mean?
It's a meme joke. Just means I doubt it.
Oh, cool. There are still so many things to say about this movie. We've barely gotten into it. So basically, then Joy shows up and she is herself again. And Evelyn tries to explain to her family how Joy is actually the evilest person in the universe. And how her husband has become somebody else from another universe over and over again. So that is very confusing and conflicting. And basically the conclusion of this scene is that she is not going to kill Joy. She's not going to actively kill her daughter in that universe.
Yes.
Just to try to save all of the universes, which, you know, like I really was interested in this part of the plot because it's really scary. Like, this has happened to real people. Like, real people have been mentally ill and come to the conclusion that, like, this person that I know needs to die to save the world. You know, just like Knock at the Cabin Door. We just saw Knock at the Cabin Door. And
cabin.
They are sorry.
Sorry. Whatever. Continue.
There are doors on cabins, so it's not too wrong. But they, like, people come to this conclusion in real life and people will kill other people for it. And, like, how did she not know? Maybe this isn't real. Maybe I'm about to kill my daughter.
I know.
And it's actually none of this is real. And it's just in my head or I'm just mentally ill. Like, you know what I mean? So I was like, it kind of scared me because I was like, this kind of thing has happened in real life and it will happen again. And it's just so sad. Like, I don't know. So I'm glad she made the decision not to kill her daughter. And honestly, I hadn't even thought about it because they had wanted her to kill her daughter so that if Joy on that earth is dead, Jobu Takaki can't jump into that Joy's body and wreak havoc on that universe. But it's like, how is that solving the problem? Like, you're just putting a band-aid over it. You're just killing one Joy, so Jobu Takaki can't enter one universe. She was right. Like, if you get to the source and you cut back the source and you figure out what it really was. And in reality, like, I feel like this was very symbolic of parental relationships with kids. Now, I'm not a parent and I can't speak too much to it, but I feel like I will feel like this, and I even feel like it with a dog, which is very much way less as intense as having a real child. And I'm not saying those are comparable, but the parental guilt of feeling like your child is going to become a monster or a bad person because of you, you know?
Big
little
lies.
I think that was a big theme in this movie is like, oh, did I make my daughter into a monster because I didn't love her enough or I wasn't affectionate to her enough?
Because I
didn't
treated her the same way that my father treated me.
Yeah, and she hated the way her father treated her, but yet she still did it to her daughter. And I thought it was very symbolic of, like,
yeah, you're right,
her feeling like she created a monster. And she chose the parenting route of, like, working towards her daughter and, like, trying to get down and pull back the layers of the onion to figure out what was really going on and to rebuild that relationship instead of just cutting her out of her life by, like, killing her in that universe. So I thought that was very symbolic and a big theme in the movie.
It's a good
note.
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, because I honestly think Beans is becoming a monster and it's because of us. So,
True that. Fun fact, during that scene where she takes out Weather in, like, the BDSM closet,
there was a BDSM closet?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
It's when all the police officers are trying to get in the room and there's gas is thrown inside and their grandfather's out there. Yeah, anyways. There's an actor there, John Hawks. He shows up for a scene, which it's always good to see him.
Oh, I don't know who that is. Love him. He's always good to see him.
It is always good to see him. He's not a very well-known actor. You know, I'm very niche with these things. This guy. He was one of the police officers.
Oh, he was in Three Billboards.
Yep.
Oh. Yeah, I don't really recognize him, but so then the movie kind of jumps into like her just basically jumping between every universe. And everybody's trying to kill her because they've decided she's not good enough to be Evelyn. Good enough to be Evelyn, but she's not good enough to be the Evelyn who saves the universe, I guess, is what was decided at this point.
Yes.
And she just starts jumping through all of her different universes and kind of learning about the different universes that she had and the different life paths she could have had.
Fun fact.
And it made me wonder. Oh, go.
Sorry, you can keep going. Movie posters were made for the alternate universes. Amour et sausage, French for love and sausages, in the style of a French romance film. Pinky of Fury as a Japanese martial arts film. Rocks as a documentary. Fractured Personas as a Chinese romance. And Rakakuni as a Disney movie.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I will put up the pictures of those in the podcast
when I edit it
so that people who are watching the YouTube video can see it. But that's pretty awesome.
I know. I didn't know that.
That's awesome. Did they actually like release them?
And each Daniels and A24 are credited, but otherwise give no indication to the real film. I don't think they were used in marketing.
Oh, they just did it for fun?
Maybe.
Why would you do it if it wasn't for marketing? I feel like it was for marketing. Can we even find them online?
I doubt it. Maybe. Oh,
well,
I'm going
to look for them if I can. I want to put them in the podcast. But yeah, it made me wonder, like, what are the alternate universes that we would have?
I know. Maybe one of that, too. It's like, it's a really good, just thought-provoking question. It's like, oh, if I suddenly went here for the day, what would happen for the next year?
Because like we met at Publix, right? And what if you hadn't been working that day?
Yeah, what if
we would never have met? Like imagine what our lives would be like now. It's crazy.
If you hadn't asked me out, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. It's like when I think back at like the huge things that have happened in my life and the tiny circumstance that could have changed it, it's kind of crazy. It really blows my mind. So yeah. I wonder what the different universes would be for us.
I know.
In the multiverse.
I was probably an engineer somewhere.
Yeah, you were probably like an engineer.
Probably not. Another fun fact. The VFX team was 9 people, including the directors. The majority, or 5 people, did the majority of the work, and none of them went to school for special effects. They were all self-taught with online courses.
yes. What is that one called that everybody always sponsors with?
Oh, what's it called? It's Khan Academy?
No, Khan Academy I just use for math.
Oh, I don't know.
There's some like
what are you talking about?
Self-taught course you can do that a bunch of people online always get sponsored by. I feel bad I don't know what it is. I don't know. If I think of it, I'll shout it out later. Yeah. But basically, honestly, the rest of the movie is just crazy stuff happening for like a long time. I don't even know how to walk through the rest of the plot.
The majority of the film's scenes were shot at a high frame rate. This was done to give the editors the flexibility to put different parts into slow motion that weren't originally planned to be.
God, I can't imagine how big the files were. Must have been like 20 million gigabytes.
Crazy.
Oh my gosh. Do you want to talk about the booty plugs?
That's so funny.
There's a scene where she was fighting some guys and they had to like... they lost their power, so they had to do a jump to keep fighting. And so they put booty plugs. They were trying to like put their butt on like this award, and it was really gross. I was like, I did not like the sexual references in that. That kind of lady. But she did beat the butt plug men, in case anybody was wondering.
She did.
And then she utilized the wooshy finger hold
from
Kung Fu Panda. And she did some fighting with her pinky using her kung fu skills. And her dad tried to kill her also. It's so hard to like walk through this block.
That is crazy. This is the hardest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know the shot of Evelyn zooming backwards in the chair at the beginning? Yeah, sorry, going back. In the chair when she zooms back to the janitor's closet when she's first. Mm-hmm. So that was filmed over the course of a full year. Museums, location scouts, and more, all condensed into 8 seconds. just the locations just all edited together.
So she just had to keep showing up at all those locations, or was it
green-screened? Yeah, it was edited into like the background.
Wow, that's amazing. Oh my gosh.
The editing in this work and the VFX work is incredible, honestly.
Wow, that's awesome. I had no idea. Over a whole year. Okay, so the next portion of the plot, she's just jumping uncontrollably and fighting people for a really long time. So I'm not going to talk about that too much. And she confronts Jobu, and Jobu takes her to her bagel. Take me to your bagel.
In a big white room.
In a big white room. Yep. And she tells her that the bagel means nothingness and sadness and...
nothing matters. I agree.
Yeah, pretty much that. And then basically... Evelyn gives up all hope and becomes a really sad person and starts just ruining her life in mm-hmm. all of the different universes until she realizes maybe that's not the way I should live my life.
The raccoon guy lost his raccoon.
Yeah, raccoon guy. I'm not going to explain that one. It's really deep. It's basically a spinoff of Ratatouille happened, and they called him raccoon. And he was one of the
Genius.
Universes. Yeah. Okay, and then the big turning point in the film when she becomes a nice person again is when her husband tells her to fight them with kindness and not aggression. So instead of knocking them out, she starts fighting them with things that they love to distract mm-hmm. them, which was pretty smart. I liked it. I thought it was good.
And then, before that, you've got this, like, honestly, really eloquent, beautiful sequence of with Wayman's character and his monologue saying, like, when they're in, like, the... in the alley with like the green light.
Yes, there was a very good scene with them
yeah.
in the Kung Fu universe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was like very, you're not going to know this director, but very like Wong Kar Wai.
Wow, way to mansplain.
I know.
I don't know who it is.
But that's like very reminiscent of his style of filmmaking. Just that like...
corner alley.
Just like the lighting and like the dialogue. But I thought that was such a beautiful sequence.
I wonder if that was inspired by that director.
I would like to Google that. And it's like, yeah, at some point, maybe I would... just doing taxes and laundry mm-hmm. would be all I need.
Yeah, I thought that was really sweet. That was, like, really romantic. Them being in this universe where they're both rich people, and he's like, I'm still not happy because I'm not with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not all that I wanted. Which was true. I thought it was very true. And so then, once he does this and opens up to her, she starts fighting with kindness, as I have said, as Jonathan has mentioned as well. And this makes Jobu Takaki very upset. So she opens her bagel portal, as one does.
As we do.
And she wants to go into her bagel portal. So basically, this is when she starts fighting people with kindness. And then all of a sudden, I was confused because it seemed like everybody was now fighting for Jobu and not for Evelyn. Because I thought the whole point was that they wanted to kill Jobu, right? All these jumpers. But then now all the jumpers were fighting to protect...
No, they were all protecting Jobu from the very beginning.
No, I thought that they were trying to kill Jobu.
No.
Oh.
They were
so
all
it
trying
was
to kill.
Just like the grandpa and her.
Yes.
But then,
yeah.
And then so it was like the grandpa
and
Alpha Wayland were trying to kill her when they didn't think she was good enough, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
This movie yeah. did not, like a lot of my friends, a lot of people have said this movie just like made them like bawl and weep and cry.
It did not make me tear up.
It
all.
Made me
I got bored.
I don't know. It was a little like kind of a cathartic reaction, especially with the what's the song called, the piano song that they playing.
They played a very iconic piano piece. I don't know what it's called, but it was very dramatic.
Claire de Lune.
Claire
that's
de
what
Lune.
It's called.
Yeah, that one's very iconic. Everybody knows it. I think overall, basically the... Oh, I do have a question. So is the googly eye on your forehead that she... So she like put googly eyes on everybody's forehead when she was fighting them with kindness. Is that like a third eye or something? Like, is that the symbolism? Like,
well,
the
that
eye?
Just happened because the bullets that were shot at her turned into googly eyes.
But she turned them into googly eyes herself and then put them on everybody's heads. Isn't third eyes like wisdom or something? Your third eye?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
I think it was supposed to be like her third eye, like she had reached her wisdom or something. I don't know. I don't know if
that makes
a symbolism,
sense.
But I also don't know too much about
that makes sense.
What the third eye means. But I think that's what it was that they were going for. But Overall, the editing was amazing. The planning was amazing. I can't even imagine how long it took them to plan that. Like, it was mind-blowing, like, how all the scenes fit together and every little thing they had to think of, you know? Like,
so much detail.
There was so much detail.
If it won Best Picture, totally support that.
I would be totally okay with it winning that. Best Picture. Yeah, for sure. I didn't think it was as enjoyable as other movies, but it was really well made and it was very, like, unique, and I thought that was cool.
At times, I think it was a little too unique for its own good, and it didn't tread the line between the emotion behind the characters and the ridiculousness of the situation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that. And I also think that because it was so crazy the whole time, that it almost made it like there couldn't even be plot holes if you wanted to, because everything yes. is a plot hole.
That's true.
Every single part of it is a plot hole. So I thought it was interesting, because I was like, I wonder, were there any plot holes? And I was like, no, because everything was. I thought it was kind of funny. But I think the overall essence of the movie is to teach you to, like, appreciate what you have and not You've want got. For more. Yeah, so stuck with me, buddy.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, so... Yeah, it was definitely a good movie, but it just dragged at the end for me. So I would stick with my 4 out of 5 stars, and I don't think I want to watch it again. It was one of those, this is so emotionally exhausting to watch it. I don't want to watch it again for a long time.
Yeah,
like, I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies. Like,
yeah, me either.
Yeah.
But definitely one of the most creative of the year.
Yeah, definitely one of the most creative. So... this has been a long podcast. We tried to walk through the plot, but it was a very hard movie to do it. So I don't know if this was a good one to try it out on.
Yeah, it might have been a poor guinea pig.
Look up the best picture nominations so we can have one to talk about for next week.
Okey-doke. All Quiet on Western Front. We have access to that one.
Yeah, we can watch that one.
Women Talking and The Fablemans, I think. And women, I just said that.
Let's do we just watched that. I'm such an idiot. Let's do All Quiet on the Western Front. We're going to do that one next week.
Okay.
So, everybody, get excited. Go watch it. And then we'll talk about it next week. Thanks cool. for tagging along.
Thanks.
And trying to follow the plot along with us as we tried to explain it. Because it was probably more confusing
than if
you had just watched it.
Yes.
But thanks so much. I will see you later. Yep. Bye.
Stay fresh.
Stay fresh.